Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
There's a verse in the Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, in chapter 2, verse 15, that says, "Catch the little foxes." You don't have to turn there. But catch the little foxes that ruin the vine. That which steals the beauty and the provision and the abundance and the fruit of labor and the blessing of God, pay attention and catch the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I want us to look at that a little bit again this morning. And I want you to think for a moment. Because I'll just tell you, not that this is a statistic, but you know, half the battle of conquering things in our life is being able to identify first what needs to be conquered. We can't be oblivious. If we're oblivious, then how do we even know that the Lord did it? Right? How do we know that sin needed forgiveness unless we understood what the law was? Right? Okay, so we need to discover, because every one of us in this room, all of us, me, you, we have weakness. And I don't mean just limitations, but there are tendencies, weaknesses that we have. Now, all of us, we don't want those things exposed, right? Of course. We don't want people to see them, though they show up from time to time. But we need to be aware of them in our own life. That's what one of the things I'm so grateful about God's Word is He doesn't just paint this beautiful picture of humanity. He lets humanity be exposed in His Word, and He also exposes Himself in His Word. The Bible is chocked full of humanity and their weaknesses, main Bible characters that we read about in their life and things that show up in their life. God didn't try to hide those things. He allowed us to see them so that we could see humanity, we could identify ourselves, and we could also identify God and how He comes with holiness, grace, mercy, discipline, judgment, all of those things. Because He loves us, not because He's mean. Well, turn to the person next to you and say, "God is not mean." Turn to them and say, "God is not mean." Okay, now that we solve that problem. Listen, weakness. Look, Noah, guy with the big boat. He had a weakness with alcohol. It's in the Scripture. These things are in the Scripture. These aren't things I made up or did some private study in some book that somebody wrote that they just kind of pulled the stuff out of the air. Lot. He wrestled with greed. Jacob. He struggled with deception. Moses. He had to keep his anger under God's control. When he did, he was very compassionate. Samson, Solomon, King David, lust of the eyes or the flesh. For a time, Peter, he struggled with fear controlling him. You look at Gehazi, you look at Judas, and they craved money. You can go throughout this book and find people that you and I identify with. In fact, We could probably go through this book, and though the scenario would change a little bit, but the thing that maybe they struggled with, we could put new names and new faces of people right here in this book who are here in this room. I want you to keep in your mind as we walk through this morning, catch the foxes. The little foxes, catch the little foxes that go out and ruin the vines in the vineyard. We could talk about any one of these, we could talk about a lot of others, but I want you to look at 1 Samuel chapter 18. We're going to have a little glimpse of Saul. We're just going to use him from Scripture this morning to look at. 1 Samuel chapter 18. And it starts chapters before, but I'm going to touch here, and we're going to go back to chapter 15. I'm going to touch on a few things there. And now I want you to understand as we go through this, we're going to identify maybe what some weaknesses were in Saul and what he wrestled with and how the little thing, when it was not tended to and when it was not caught and when it was not solved, it began to grow. And it began to take him over. That he was so distracted and so preoccupied that he started to run on another agenda than instead of what God called him to. We're going to identify that. But we are not specifically talking just about his weakness. We're talking about the principle that if the little things are not tended to, they are not caught, they will grow. To our detriment, to our demise. Chapter 18. They're coming back, and David just conquered Goliath, okay? And they beat the Philistines, and they're winning battles, and things unfold, and they're coming back into the city, the triumphant army, the triumphant king, and people are coming out with their musical instruments, and they're playing them, and there's a great celebration. And it's going on, it's wonderful, and people are calling out things and screaming out victorious statements. And one of the things that people started to scream out was, Saul, he slayed his thousands. Sounds pretty good. And then they'd follow up with, but David slayed tens of thousands. And that fell upon Saul's ears. That burned him. That steamed him. And he goes into this mode. From that day forward, it says that he watched David. Now, let me ask you this. As the king, is he supposed to be watching David? I mean, is that what he's called to? It says he began to watch David with a jealous eye. With a jealous eye. Now you have to understand something about Saul. He didn't start out this way. He didn't start out as king the way he ended up as king. I want you to remember that. You look at chapter 15. This is where God rejects Saul and why. But if you were to go previous to this, when Saul was anointed king, it says when he was anointed to be king by Samuel. What a man of God, Samuel. He was anointed by Samuel. Samuel was sent, anointed Saul as king, and immediately afterwards, a group of prophets were coming by and prophesying, and Saul moved right in with the prophets, and he himself began to prophesy. Speak and declare the wonders and marvelous things of God. And he walked with them, and the people said, wow, we've never seen something like this. What does this mean? He's anointed as king, and now he's also walking with the prophets. Wow. Whoa, this is going to be fabulous. This is going to be marvelous. A king, a leader who has the Spirit of God upon him. People are pretty happy. Well, time goes on. God gives directives to Saul, and the word comes to Saul that you are going to face the Amalekites. It's going to be a battle, but you will be victorious. I will bring you victory, Saul, but this is what I want you to do. When you go in, I want you to destroy everything. Chapter 15. Samuel comes because Saul disobeyed. He did not wipe out everything. He had the directives from the Lord. He's a man who prophesies. He's anointed as king. And he steps into a place where he heard God's mission. And he moved forward with it to a point and then compromised and still felt like he did enough and justified it. So Samuel comes to him and says, what's this lowing of cattle that I hear and sheep? And you may think, well, what's the big deal? You see, they were supposed to wipe out everything that belonged to the Amalekites, but the things that looked valuable, the things that looked good, the spoils of the Amalekites, he was supposed to destroy everything Saul was in his army, and Saul didn't do that. He just went in, did some killing, did some conquering, and then said, you know, hey, this has value, this is good, we can use this. And Samuel shows up because the Lord spoke to him and knows. And Samuel comes to confront Saul, and Saul begins to give this explanation. Well, we're going to take these sheep and that we're going to sacrifice them to the Lord. That sounds like a good thing back then, right? And Samuel just says, stop. Verse 16. Let me tell you what the Lord told me last night. In other words, you can tell me what you want. And you can try to carry out this action, and on the surface to everybody else, it might look good, it might look right, but let me tell you what the Spirit of God revealed to me. Because we can fool people around us. And we can try to cover up with spiritual activity and spiritual words. But God knows what's going on in here. We cannot fool him. And so regardless of Saul's answers, Samuel says, stop. I'm just going to tell you what the Lord told me. He says, although you were once small in your own eyes, Saul, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel. He sent you on a mission saying, go and completely destroy those people. The Amalekites make war on them until you have wiped them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? And Saul says, but I did obey. I went on the mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God at Gilgal. And Samuel replies, does the Lord delight in some sacrifice and some burnt offerings as much as he rejoices in a person obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. To heed, to listen is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, the sin of the occult, the religion of Satan. And arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the people So I gave in to them. We can think that Saul's big deal was rebellion. And certainly on the surface it would look like that because he did not obey God's command. But Saul struggled with an insecurity and wanted the favor of people. Why do you think it bothered him so much chapters later when they began to sing, Saul slayed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands? The focus and the rejoicing should have been on God, that God gave favor and God won and brought victory for God's people. But it bothered Saul so much to move him to an eye of jealousy always on David. As he operated as king, he always had an eye on David because he was insecure. He was threatened. You see it back in this chapter of why he did not obey God. He didn't want to displease the people. He wanted to gain their favor. So he went in and did war, did some killing, plundered the good stuff instead of wiping it out like God's command, and tried to cover it now with taking plunder and offering it to the Lord as if that's the great cover-up. I'll talk to you very plainly this morning. I want you to know and understand that God's people, people who know what God is like, are called to a higher standard. Did you know that? Did you understand that? People who are called to, who are given giftings, people who are given talents, people who are given office, people who are given leadership, people who, the Bible talks about those who are teachers shall be judged more strictly. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 12, verse 48. It says this, "He who does not know better shall be lightly beaten. He who knows and understands the Lord and doesn't do it shall be beaten more severely or disciplined more severely. Do you not know that he who is given much, much is required?" You heard that? He who is given much, much is required. He who has been entrusted, Jesus says, shall be more strictly dealt with. Here's Saul, anointed as king. Prophesies. Spiritual gifting. Spiritual anointing. And in the mix of all that, never paid attention to what was going on in his character. And it's easy for people who are being blessed to justify the little things, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. Because much is given. We look at things like this. Oh, yeah, manager of that company and this. Oh, look at all the perks they get. And I'm out here sweating. I'm working. I'm breathing filth, working with chemicals, doing this. And look at them. They get all the perks. You ever heard stuff like that? Well, what's the matter? This is not a union town? You ever hear stuff like that? You can put it in the scenario you want. I'll tell you what, those who are responsible and have been given much, right there in the Bible it says they get perks. Here's the part we miss. Is with the perks, with the blessing, with the gifting, with the talent, with the abundance, with that gift of responsibility in office, comes more demand upon how we are supposed to live. And you and I in this room, me, I have got to keep my eye and watch for the little foxes, not in fear, but I got to deal with them. I've got to catch them because they have spoiled parts of the vineyard in my life, just like yours. They need to be caught. They need to be dispatched. That's a nice way of saying kill them. I learned that from the Wisconsin Trappers Association. Any of you members of the Wisconsin Trapper Association? Okay. My dad is. Don't tell him I said this and don't play the recording. He thinks he's a trapper. He caught one beaver. He just likes to go all the trapper rendezvous around the state and just eat food and talk to people. Wears the jacket and got the hat. Nah, he's caught more than that. In fact, he just trapped a fisher. I don't know if you know what that is. That's not a person. I just didn't, yeah, wait. From nose to end of tail, 4 feet. I said, wow, that make Pope and Young? Most of you don't know what that is either because none of you hunt deer either. Tree hugger, never mind. I'm kidding you, relax. Let me get back off the bunny trail and get over here where I'm supposed to be. We got to pay attention and dispatch the little foxes that spoil the vine. They're not out there. They're in here. Saul didn't deal with it. And it came to the point where God removed him and rejected him as king. Oh, he still operated as king. Do you understand that he operated as king without the fresh breath of God on him? That's like living the Christian life and going through the motions without the inspiration of God's Spirit and the freshness of His blessing and His hand upon you. That is emptiness. He didn't deal with it. He was afraid of the people and he gave in. You and I've got to understand what our weakness is. Because once we identify it, we can watch for the little foxes and deal with it, solve it, go through the process of change by the goodness of God, not allow history to repeat itself in our life. You want to know the interesting thing? If you were to look in chapter 18 again, 1 Samuel. Now this is after all this other stuff has gone on. Now he's got a jealous eye on David. Look at this. This is how far it took this king out of commission. While he was still on the throne. A man who prophesied. Saul was very angry. This refrain galled him. They have credited David with tens of thousands, he thought, but me with only thousands. What more can he get but the kingdom? Sorry, that's in my translation. And from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. The next day, an evil spirit moved in. He was prophesying in his house. Who was prophesying? Saul! Wait a minute. I thought you said like God rejected him as king. He doesn't revoke the gift. Don't think for a moment that giftings justify us. To live sloppy. To compromise. You understand that the perks and the blessings in life, that they are given by God and they are wonderful, But if we don't keep our eye on the little foxes, that all the perks will move us into autopilot and coasting and think we have some special privilege without the responsibility to match. That's what happened to Saul. You and I see it all the time. In headlines, people in the community, leaders, supervisors at work. But you see it in coworkers, and you see it in this room. He was prophesying in his house while David was playing the harp, as he usually did. Saul had a spear in his hand, and he hurled it, saying to himself, "I'll pin David to the wall." Obviously, David eluded it twice. That's how far it took this king, out of commission. While he's prophesying, while he's doing a spiritual act, while he is being deceived, while he thinks he's being spiritual, while he still thinks he's carrying the anointing of kingship, doing spiritual activity, and there's evil not just lurking, now it's beyond lurking, and it begins to expose itself to take a spear and pin David to the wall. You and I in this room, we can do spiritual activity. You can be used in talent. You can be used in spiritual gifting. You could be used in leadership at different levels throughout the church. And do you understand with those opportunities, there is blessing, and yes, there's perks. God gives, but along with it, there is a higher standard. God is entrusted with things shall be judged at a stricter standard. You looked in the scripture and it says, teachers, you who teach, you will be held at a stricter standard. You look at how this plays out in your life. What spiritual things and do you go through in all of this, and you use that as if it's justifiable to prove, as some type of assurance to you inside, that the little foxes, the little things going on, are no big deal? The things that we cover, that we feed, the little foxes, they're spoiling the vine. He's blessed you with a talent, a gifting, an office, a placement in life, and with it comes a responsibility. I got to tell you something. Just periods and times in my own life. When I first became a pastor, I was excited about it. I was grateful, studied, helped. Moved into full-time ministry, but understood that now as I actually teach what you're excited about, it's what you worked for and felt called for and called to, and you want God's anointing on you to do it. And what a great blessing and what an excitement. And you understand that with that, you know, there is this, not that you don't walk on the same ground, it's not that you're better than people, but there is this elevation that happens in our lives. Understand that. Let's be real frank. This is not arrogance. This is not pride. There's an elevation. It's an opportunity that comes with every opportunity that you and I are given in this room. I'm just using my life as a process so you understand. There's this elevation, this perk, this opportunity to really speak. And with the perk and opportunity came the scripture that said, Randy Williamson, you will be judged more strictly. Through years of ministry and times where you deal with obvious spiritual battles with demonic forces in people, and you're confronted with it, and you watch God bring victory, and you are partnering with Him, and He allows you to do that, you don't walk away now as if, oh man, whoo, yeah. Any demons cast out, call me, I'm your man. You know what it did? It compelled me to do more fasting. Because with that power in Christ that unfolds in our life, there's the responsibility. So I moved in places of pastoral leadership at different levels. Do you know what else grew in my heart? The ongoing commitment to make sure that I submit to the authorities in my life. Not like I'm the man now, but to submit to the authorities. Those two things go together. If God blesses you with resource and with money, do you understand what goes with that? The compelling, the moving, that with that wealth and that blessing, do you understand that there's also the standard that those who have learned how to make money and God has prospered them, that there also is a higher standard of giving? As God brings opportunity and blessing and talent into your life, we can do spiritual stuff all around it and let the little foxes spoil the vine and never pay attention to the responsibilities that come with the blessing or the perks or whatever you want to call it. Let me drive this home not just personally, but for us as a church. I can only go from when I arrived here two and a half years ago. Can't talk to you about before then. Don't know. Wasn't here. Not my place, not my call. But I know that when we arrived on a Sunday morning, it was about 130 people. Okay? That I know. Regardless of what the ACMR reports that were turned in, and you're thinking, what are those? That's like all the numbers and statistics of the church. Regardless of what was turned in to the Assemblies of God, that was the reality of what was basically here. Now, I don't know how long it took, or what you went through for God to bring blessing and bring people and plow and break through to get to 130 people. All I know is I can mark from when I was here, us as a church. On Sunday morning, we have been blessed to run about 250 people. Now, I want you to understand this, because I don't know how much you are exposed to church life out there and other churches and everything else. I'm going to tell you something. God is doing something right here in this community, and specifically doing something here in this church. Not this church only, but in this church. I don't know too many churches that can say in the last two and a half years that they've doubled roughly in size. I don't know of too many small community rural churches. And this is, I consider this somewhat of a rural community, okay? Don't get me wrong. It's not my fault. It's all the farmers in here. It's their fault. Listen. I don't know how many of them can say, we get new people every week, at least visitors, and many of them stay and come back. I don't know how many. There's not many. I've traveled. I've had the privilege of traveling in a lot of different places over the years. Didn't always pastor. Traveled and preached. Went to different places, did it internationally. I don't know everything, but I got to see a fair amount. Doesn't mean I know a whole bunch. I just got to see a lot, and a little bit of it registered. I don't know how many can say that. And so here we are at New Life. Let's move this from a personal thing now to a corporate level as a church. You have been blessed. This building and this property is paid for. We don't make payments every month on this thing. Amen. That doesn't mean you back off your tithe. Because that had nothing to do with it. That's a spiritual principle. And this is a nice building. We're discovering that the classrooms are too small. Well, we picked up a few followers there on that one, Dennis. Listen, you'll cram them in, but I'll tell you what. The way the youth ministry and stuff is going, the curtains are going to have to be open soon down there.
Amen. Yeah.
Woo! I'm so glad that my wife and I don't look at Wednesday night as a competition with each other. You're enjoying this too much. You just shut up, boy. Listen, God is blessing and doing things. Do you understand that in this economic time, God has blessed and your commitment and your sacrifice? You know, praise the Lord. I'll just tell you this, financially, we're okay. I know some of the deacons right now are getting nervous about that. Don't tell them that. You know, we don't want to stop giving. You know, numbers. Hallelujah, Jim. I love that they worry about the numbers because I don't have to. Let them worry, David. Hey, you're not on the board right now. Let them worry, huh? I'm kidding you. I'm not painting a dark picture for you. I don't think they worry about it. They're responsible. But I remind them that part of being a good steward involves generosity. That faithfulness and cheapness are not synonymous. Okay, I'll say it again. Faithfulness and cheapness. I won't use synonymous is a big word. Amen. They don't mean the same thing. The board understands. They quote somebody from the past who, I don't know if I met him or not, it was somebody on the board at some time, said, I don't want Jesus to come back and we got this big old bank account. Woohoo! We could have used to reach people or do something with. That's what the board always, anytime there's a little, okay, find out, oh, we got to remember, that's part of the conviction. You've got good deacons in this church.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you that. God prospers you with resources. You better watch your view of money. It was given unto you for what? To give. If you have the gift of hospitality, don't let the little fox of busyness rob you from being a host and a hostess. You hear me? God gave you a house and a gift to use. We as a church have been blessed. Well, here's the deal with the blessing, folks. We've been blessed to this point and we are grateful. We've not arrived. But we could stay right here at this level if we don't understand the responsibilities and the higher standard and what we've been entrusted with, that it calls us to a stricter level. Because if we don't match that with the blessing, this is it. We can be content in God's provision and blessing. But please, don't tell me, oh, the sanctuary's pretty much full. Good enough. Oh, I don't want to grow anymore. Then, you know, pastor's going to get this idea that we're going to have to build, and then there's debt and payments, and oh, yeah. Listen, there's more hours in the day. We can do more services.
Amen.
With the blessing in our life. Personally, there comes a responsibility. with the perks and the opportunities. You and I had better pay attention to the little foxes that spoil the vine. Because there are some of us in this room that we have not paid close attention to those things. And you cover it up with spirituality or serving or holding office or talking the right talk. But deep down in here, though everybody else thinks it's okay, God sees it. That's not to give you fear. That's to say, hey, he cares about the vineyard he's put in you. Stop the little foxes from spoiling it. God's not stingy. Do you understand that God wants to give you more? Oh, Pastor, now watch it. That's doctrinally. That's one of those word of faith blessing things. Listen, you know, this whole word is blessing. His whole word is blessing. It doesn't mean that we're all going to be rich financially. Oh. Well. How come nobody clapped at that point? It doesn't mean that we're all... But with the opportunities and the blessing and the anointing and the giftings and the talents to be used according to His word, according to His structure... See, you think following God, oh, it's just a bunch of all free stuff. No, the freedom is we live free from sin. It doesn't mean that God doesn't have structure. That's a whole nother sermon, and it's after 11:30. Your roast is burnt. But I'll tell you this, if you don't get this straight and you don't get this right in His word, your goose will be cooked. I'm going to tell you something about the blessing of this church. In my travels, I don't know that I have seen too many churches this size with as many gifted, talented, and strong personalities. You know what they've discovered in the business world? That those who are gifted and talented, they tend to run into trouble. Because they didn't pay attention to the little things going on in here. And it ruined them. It ruined them. You and I better pay attention. The anointing, the talent, the gifting. Whatever it is in your life. Because there are little foxes that have been spoiling the vine in your life for a long time. Some of you, you're so gifted, you're so strong, you're so talented. I'm telling you something. I don't know many churches this side that have as many talented and gifted people and things. I'm telling you the truth. And yet some of you are pushing and trying to, and it's not going. And it hasn't been going for a long time. And you grow frustrated and you blame other people or you look at other stuff or you whatever. And you know what? It's the little fox that's been spoiling the vine in here all the time. You never dealt with it. And you cover it up with spiritual activity. I'm telling you straight. There's a little group back here talking. They're starting to look at get the rail and the feathers and the tar. I'm telling you straight. I'm telling you. You and I've got to watch it. Don't you let things. Don't let it wreck the vine, man. It'll move you so far into corruption and preoccupation. And some of you in this room will think, oh, no, it won't. That I'll never go that far. I know I'm dealing with stuff and hanging on to stuff. And it'll never lead me that far. Do you know what the pros write? The personal coaches for leadership write? You are the most vulnerable when you say, it will never happen to me. And the reason they say it is because they work with people who have said, it'll never happen to me. And there it is. If you would have told Saul at the beginning, when he was anointed to be king and prophesying with the prophets, that one day God will reject you as king and you will disobey him because you wanted to please the people, because you're insecure and you never dealt with that little fox, that it's going to spoil the vine and grow if you don't tend it, and it's going to ruin the whole vineyard, and there will be no abundance, no crop, and no blessing. And because you weren't faithful with it, it will be given to another. And it was. You and I better pay attention to the little foxes that ruin the vine in our personal life, in our family, and in the church. Let's stand, please, all over this room. You think as you stood up, I'm done. I'm going to tell you how to solve it. Because it's the only way I know how to solve it. It's the only way biblically that I know how to solve it. Are you ready? It's one word. Repent! 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 Admit it. Ask forgiveness. Follow Jesus. Follow his word. Crucify the flesh. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy life. We're talking about the little foxes that spoil the vine and keep us where we are and cause us to digress, and we cover it up with all kinds of activity in the Christian world. We talk the right talk, but inside, the foxes. You can get the majority to follow you. You can talk to the right people to get them to agree with you. But the discerning will always see it. Because it comes from God.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.